Well, good morning. I want to welcome all of you here on this fourth Sunday of Advent. This is a Sunday that in the past number of years we've combined our Sunday school program and our Christmas music. We used to separate them. We used to have an evening when we would simply do some Christmas music and enjoy the talents of those that have been gifted in that way. But today in the last number of years, we're doing it on a Sunday morning, so we're thankful for that. We're going to open with a song that's it's an insert. Make sure you get the insert. Chad is passing those out. The rest of our songs are going to be from the Blue Christmas book, so make sure you have one of those also. And this opening song is Tell Me the Story of Jesus. A song that was recently added to or written by Lorinda West down in South Carolina. Shirley asked permission. She heard it, I think it was this morning, on the Facebook feed from the ALC, and so she asked permission to be able to sing this song. It is a familiar tune, Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let's give thanks and pray. Gracious Father, we come before you once again in that name that has been given above every name, that name of your Son, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We give thanks, Father, that even today as we come together, we know that the power of your word, the work of the Holy Spirit within the lives of each of us is that which has drawn us to a place where once again we desire to give thanks and praise unto you. We desire to worship you in that which you have supplied unto us, that great gift of salvation through your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you as the songwriter has just laid out for us the completeness of that word, that you have not left us in a place of wondering and doubt. But the surety of the gospel is that which has shown unto us that our sin debt has been paid, that our sins removed as far as the east is from the west, that we can rejoice in that which has caused life to bloom once again within that which was once dead. We recognize, Father, that we were once dead in trespasses and sins, and yet that work of the Spirit has brought us a life, not just in time, but for eternity. And so we thank you for that great work, Father, when Jesus came, became one of us, took on himself the flesh of man, but was also true God. The mystery of the gospel is wrapped up in that fact that it was he alone that could have paid for our redemption. And so we rejoice in that, Father, that he willingly came. Scriptures tell us that it was for the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy of knowing that one day he would hear the praise and the thanksgiving from those redeemed children that have come to that place of giving thanks unto him and thanks unto you for that great gift. And so we pray, Father, as we come together even today in this time of worship, this time of praise, this time of thanksgiving, that you would bring that joy into our hearts, that you would enkindle that which is necessary for each one of us, that we would be inspired by the gospel message to know your goodness and your greatness, not just because of what you have performed in an outward way for us, but because of that great gift that you have worked within our hearts to be able to believe, to simply trust in your word, a word of redemption. We want to remember, Father, those that are in times of difficulty. We want to remember Barbara Holmgren as she is in the hospital and, you know, the health concerns that are a part of so many of us. There are so many that we find it often difficult to go through and enumerate them. And yet, you know, Father, that which is in each of our hearts, the ones that we bear so close to us. And we pray, Father, that you would grant, according to your will and purpose, that which is necessary in their lives, that the work of the gospel might be that which would be preeminent to be able to go forth and to share a message that here in time we have the difficulties and trials, but one day we will be able to sing a song of everlasting praise and thanksgiving through all eternity. And now hear us, Father, in that prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We're going to continue with song number 55 from the Christmas book, O Come Little Children, number 55.
Thank you. really nice song.
There's a button on the top of the mic.
Maybe if nobody wants to hear me in this room.
There. It's all right. Do what? Maybe. So by now I'm through with my reading, so I'm going to go sit down. Anyway, so I titled mine Christmas Singing. When I heard that this day was being planned, I told myself that this year I am just going to sit down and listen to others tell the good news of Christ's birth. I was not going to put any more pressure on myself. Just enjoy the day and leave church having enjoyed what was done with joy in my heart, rested and fed by all the singing and those gifted by God with voice and instrument abilities. So I just relaxed and never thought of it again. Then I was asked by my cousin Carrie if I was going to write something and relate something today on which I call Singing Sunday. I didn't know what to say. Should I tell her no? This year I'm just going to sit and enjoy what others are doing. Or should I say yes? I'll say just a few words. So of course I said yes, feeling a little overwhelmed since I had no idea what I was going to say, since I had never even thought of doing anything. So of course I stressed myself out about it. I had no idea what to say this morning. Then one day, Stan and I were in Ivor's Fish and Chips. It was really quite busy, very, very noisy. We were eating, and I could hear music playing, but you couldn't hear words. You could just hear the tune. And it was came upon the midnight clear. And I listened a little bit, but I didn't think about anything more about it. But then all of a sudden, everything quieted down. Just for a brief moment. And these are the words I heard. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. So if you sit here now and you think about those words I just read, does it sound like a Christmas carol to you? I really thought about it, and then I knew what I was going to talk about today. The very fact that sometimes I know these songs, these carols, so well, I just sing them by heart, and I don't really think about the words. So I thought that I would then go on and think about what it says afterwards out of those first four stanzas. It says, look now for glad and golden hours. Come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. There might be some of you here today that are in life feeling like what the first thing I heard. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. If it describes you, I pray that God gives you what the following stanzas do say, rest beside the weary road, and that you may hear the angels sing. and thereby receive God's encouragement and strength needed to walk the pathway of life you are on. Back to the words of the Christmas carols we sing. Did you know that the Advent song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, was originally written in Latin over 1,200 years ago? Of course, it was only chanted by men, and usually only 7 days before Christmas. It was finally translated into English in 1861. You who sit near me in church have to listen to me talk about all these songs, when they were written, and who wrote them. Right, Steve and Janet and Chad, our grandson. I tell it. It's an interest to me. And what we're interested in is what we talk about. So anyway, today is what I call Singing Sunday. Today we will help hear others sing these carols, and we will participate in the service ourselves by singing these carols here and there during the service. Did you know that there was a time when congregational singing was not normal, especially in England? I'd like to quote a few words of the blog that I read called The Preacher in His Barns. Quote, in 1696, tradition was a way of life in the Church of England. Although the Reformation had rocked most of Europe, England was slow to change. The only singing that was allowed in church was the singing of the Psalms, end quote. So anyway, during that time, some people thought that there was a need to change the singing, that there should be more congregational singing. But change, true change, has to be slow. It has to be subtle. After some explanation in this blog on how slow the change had to be, the writer of the blog told about two men in the church. They made a new songbook, which included a new song named The Song of the Angel. We know it by While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. It was accepted in the church because there were some references to the Psalms in the words. Change needs to be slow to be really accepted. As we know, Luther opened up congregational singing in Germany and wrote many hymns, including some Christmas carols like, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. Think of some of the words of the first verse. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, wherever I now and will now say and sing. Think of how many of the carols we sing talk about singing within their verses. It will surprise you to realize that, I think. The chorus of the song written by Cecilia Alexander, once in Bethlehem of Judea, says, O Savior, gentle Savior, hear thy loving children sing, the God of our salvation, that child is our King. How about It Came Upon a Midnight Clear? Edmund Sears says, Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, from heaven all gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. And then there is a Finnish song that we sang a couple of Sundays ago, and Scott, I will not even attempt to try and say the name of it in Finnish. I'm sorry. Anyway, we know it by Children Here in Grace Abiding. The last verse says, Hear from Zion songs of children, ringing out to God above, who unto his children granted boundless grace in his wondrous love. The list goes on, yes, on and on, and yes, this Christmas time is a time of singing, and we hear Christmas music in many places all day long. Yet how often do we really think about the words, as we think about them, realize that sometimes, quote, how often do we as adults lose that innate capacity for joy bogged down by life's complexities? Let's think about this also, when possible, and sing the carols and meditate on the words, which are often part of the Christmas story found in the Bible. I'd like to close this with another quote which I read. No author was given. It's an encouragement for all of us here today as we sit in church on Singing Sunday. Sing his praises, O children of God. Sing them loud and clear. Jesus is the answer, the only answer here.
Therefore the Lord shall himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. It shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 5-6. And there shall come forth a rod out
of the stem of Jesse. Do you want me to do it? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch
shall grow out of his roots. And
good job.
Story.
adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, or sing, all ye citizens of heaven.
Let's see here. I'm going to be reading Luke 2, 1 to 20. That is on page 750 in the Pew Bible. I checked. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of Nazareth into Judea, and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said unto one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they had heard it wondered at those things which were told by them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I might skip the verse.
Thank you. will say that Shirley and I did not talk to each other about what we were doing today. I usually do a Christmas carol from the bluegrass community. But this year, of all things, it came upon a midnight clear, was what hit me. And I know there are times where you feel there's a theme going through your world. And this one kind of spoke to me, and not knowing that my son would be involved in a huge flood this week. He's beneath a crushing load, but he does not feel that. He feels the love and prayers of everybody and the support of everybody. So I'm going to sing It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. I've never done it with a guitar other than at home, so be patient with me. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all glorious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering. Blessed angels sing, and ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now for glad and golden hours, come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beneath the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening by, prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace, their King. Send back the song which now the angels sing.
Because
So way back in 1978, let me drop this down. About this time of year in 1978, I was stationed in Japan. I was at Yokota Air Base, and it's like maybe the first day of winter. And I thought, you know what? I gotta go. I need a guitar. So I went off the base, Yokota Air Base, Japan. Went to the first music store that I saw. I didn't buy the first guitar that I saw, but this was it. It's 47 years old. And in that 47 years old, I don't know if I've ever stood up and played the guitar. So that's why. All right, so I thought I'm going to sing. So I know it from the Jim Reeves version. It's called Christmas. I thought it'd be good to read through the words before I sing it so that, you know, you can kind of get a better feeling for what it's saying. So these are the words to Christ. And for all the young people, of course, Christmas means Christmas. C is for the Christ child born upon this day. H is for herald angels in the night. R means our Redeemer. I means Israel. S is for the star that shone so bright. T is for three wise men, they who traveled far. M is for the manger where he lay. A is all he stands for, and S means shepherds came to see the baby Jesus. And that's why there's a Christmas day. I think this, I'm pretty confident that Christmas of 78, 47 years ago, that this was probably one of the first songs that I played on this guitar. So it's been a really good guitar. It sits in the box, hardly ever gets played, but it stays in tune somehow for all these years. I never slackened the strings or anything. And it's served very well. So we'll see what we can do here. C is for the Christ child born upon this day. H is for herald angels in the night. R means our Redeemer. I means Israel. S is for the star that shone so bright. T is for three wise men, they who traveled far. M is for the manger where he lay. A is all he stands for. S means shepherds came. And that's why there's a Christmas day. And T is for three wise men, they who traveled far. M is for the manger where he lay. mean shepherds came, and that's why there's a Christmas Day, and that's why there's a Christmas Day. Christmas. Merry Christmas. Well, I want to thank all of you that have participated. We've heard the message of Christmas in many different ways, haven't we? That's one of the blessings we have. You know, I love the Psalms. We go back to the Psalms, and they speak of so many ways that the children of God have spoken praise, that have worshiped God. And the core of the matter is that it comes from the heart. You know, the fact that we have the gifts and the talents, they're, you know, I don't have a musical talent. My grandchildren ask me, what are you going to do for music? Well, I have Pandora. That's my go-to at this point. You know, and to be able to have those gifts is a blessing. And I pray that every one of you acknowledge where those gifts come from, the gift that God himself has supplied with a voice, with the ability of music. But, you know, God has given us one mouth, but he's given us two ears. You know, and that's the blessing we have, is that we can hear the word, we can hear the music, we can have them come to a place where they reside in the heart, where we recognize that this is God's work, this is the power that God has. You know, we've heard the Christmas story, as I said, in so many different ways, and our gospel today is a very simple one. It's from the Gospel of Matthew, and I'd like to read that and just spend just a couple of minutes looking at Matthew's experience. That's found on page 703 in the Pew Bible. We're going to read Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read 18 through 25, and we'll read this in Jesus' name. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. As his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she was brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We don't hear a lot about Joseph, do we? Joseph is really one of us, those of us that, you know, we have the ability to hear. But what a blessing to have Joseph and the record that the scriptures provide for us. Because we see one prominent thing, don't we? He believed. There was faith that God had placed within his heart. And that is something God can place in any heart. There is no one in this world that God will not place that gift of faith in. So if you struggle with the trials, and Joseph struggled here, this was a tough time for him. He was espoused to his wife. The engagements were a year long at that time in that culture. It was as good as a marriage. It would have required a divorcement in order to break that engagement. But he was one who had been affected by this word of God. This word had come into his ears, and the Spirit had caused that word to be effective, had created life within him. That's what the Spirit does to us. It creates life within us so that we no longer are dead in trespasses and sins. Because, you know, we tend to anguish and wallow in that so many times. But the power of the gospel is there for us to hear and to believe and to trust our God. And that's what Joseph did. You know, it tells us he was a just man, and he didn't want to make a public example of his spouse's wife. What a blessing to have that word dwelling within us. You know, the fact that he was protective of Mary, that he didn't allow her to become that which would have been disgraced, perhaps even stoned in those days. But the love that God placed within his heart was not only a love for Mary, but it was the love of God. He was the one who received this word to be able to come to that place of being obedient unto God and trusting him. And he heard from an angel, and we heard from angels today, didn't we? You know, we think of angels as these beings that are, you know, way out there maybe. You know, they're not. You know, I believe in angels, and I can't tell you that I have seen of angels, but I know I have heard angels. So many times when this word has come to me, when has it affected my heart, it's as if an angel spoke unto me. And that is what God intends for us, is to receive faith to believe and to have that faith strengthened and encouraged. You know, that's why we gather together. That's the power of the gospel, is to be able to hear that gospel. And that's why we come together as the body of Christ, to be able to worship our God, but I think also to know the power that this word brings into our lives. You know, let's pray that God would continue to work within each one of us. You know, the fact that he is able to speak to, you know, the worst that are in this world and the greatest that are in this world. There's one level of grace. You know, we have the youngest member of our congregation, and her name is Grace. And she brings us to a place where we recognize the simplicity of faith because it is received from our God. Well, I'm going to close with a reading from, you all probably know Isaac Watts. He's what's considered the father of English hymnody. He wrote over 600 hymns. You know, the hymns that we love, some of the famous ones that he wrote were When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, Joy to the World, which is based on Psalm 98. O God, our help in ages past, from Psalm 90. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Jesus shall reign where'er the sun, and I sing the mighty power of God. You know, what a powerful writer this was. And I just want to read part of a hymn that he wrote. It's called, entitled, God Reconciled in Christ. And it reads in this way. It says, dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? 'Tis by the merits of thy death the Father smiles again. 'Tis by thine interceding breath the Spirit dwells within men. 'Tis God in human flesh I see, my thoughts no comfort find. The holy, just, and sacred three are terrors to my mind. But if Emmanuel's face appear, my hope, my joy begins. His name forbids my slavish fear. His grace removes my sin. So it's my prayer, and I'm sure it's the prayer of each other, that you could believe the gospel today, that your sins are forgiven through the name and through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel residing in a word, not a human word, but a word that comes from eternity and that will last through eternity. Unto him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to the Lord in closing prayer. Gracious Father, we give thanks for this day that you have given, for the abilities that have been displayed and brought to us, that have provided for us the powerful message of the gospel, that have encouraged us to believe. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to strengthen each one of us as we go forth, as we carry this message with us, that we could share this message of peace, because it truly is that peace that resides in the heart of the believer that is able to be communicated unto a world that is struggling in the difficulties and trials of this time. And we pray, Father, that you would work that peace within our hearts, that we may be able to share with those that do not know, that do not have that within their hearts, that they would come to hear the powerful message that the Spirit alone can kindle within their hearts, that we would be those mediums that would be able to carry this message. We ask now that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please join us for this coming Thursday. Our Christmas service is at 11, and then we also have next Sunday service at 11. I'd like to make sure Tom brings our greetings from Seattle Church on your travels to New Hampshire there. God bless your time, Lori. God bless your time as you go to the brothers and sisters there. We're going to sing a couple of songs here, and we're going to do some candle lighting. These are, I believe, dripless candles, but if we can keep an eye on little ones, we can make sure no hair gets torched or we don't have drips on the pews if possible. So we're going to do two songs. So the first one will be 52, and that'll be 1,000 candles, and that is when the candles will be lit. If we could stand during that song. And then after that's done, we're going to do Silent Night, as we have traditionally done. We don't have an offering song. What I'll do is I'll place the offering plates on the back two pews. If you could feel so led, then that's where they'll be.